to give an overview of the model, it's a basic model. We use hierarchical settings. One thing make our model different from others that is that we use cross-profile shrinkage. It's additional level of hierarchy we placed because we're it's a multivariate setting, so we could use cross-profile. So when we say profile, it could be the response, the different kind of response. For example, if individual has multiple measurements of something under different drugs, then one drug would be one profile. Then we want to look at the cross-drug treatment. At a gene-cell enrichment setting up, then the profile would be the individuals. So the motivation is we want to find which variable to be put in the model. Not only that, we also want to find the reasons why we put this variable in the model, whether it's because they have a similar magnitude of association across profiles, or they have different magnitude across profiles. So that would be able to tell us whether, for example, if it's a gene drug response study, we want to find the genes that has different association under different drug treatment. Well, this gene probably is an end node of a pathway that would transmit signals at a different level under different drugs. And we also want to find some kind of genes that maybe, although it's different drugs, but the association maintained at a similar level. For example, there will be some kind of basic genes for involved in basic biosynthesis part. So a little change in that. So although on the different drugs, and it can only change a little, and this a little is enough to make a big difference on the physiology appearance of a cell. So basically, it's a linear regression setting up. So we have a matrix variant X and also a matrix response Y. So the Q is number of profiles, and the P for is number of predictors. And this P is really very large. If we're looking at the genes, then it would be thousands. If we're looking at a gene set, it will be at least hundreds. So out of these thousands or hundreds variables, we want to find the ones that have power of predicting the response. How do we look at which variables that we should pick up? Then they will be showed up as the variables with non-zero coefficients, regression coefficients. In a way, if you look at things ad hocly. So these betas. So our improvement for this research is that now we're not only look at the level of the betas, the regression coefficients, we also look at their cross-profile mean distribution. So previous research has to force the mean of the betas to be zero, and looking at their distance different from zero, how different they're from zero. So that means they have to force the distribution has mean zero. So instead of having that assumption, we have mu, which means we can model the mean of the betas across profiles. So there are a bunch of formulas, basically just describe what I said. In the formula, so I guess for someone it'll be probably easier to look at, but we don't have to go through that difficult part. But I do want to mention the last part of the matrix related to variable selection. The idea is that so if a variable is supposed to be included in the model, it will come from a flatter distribution with larger variance. If it's not supposed to be included in the model, then the variable would come from denser distributions surrounded at zero. So that's how you have the matrices related to variable selection that, for example, the D's, if it's not supposed to be included in the model, then the variance is going to be small, reflected as tall I0 square. It's much smaller than tall I1 square. So so the gamma is just latent type of the variables. So a special case of that is when the variable is not supposed to be in the model, it's come from a point density at zero. So that means it's fixed at zero. So there is no variance, it's just a zero. And then if we're using that setup, we're having a transdimensional model setting that the number of variables in the model is not fixed. But so for the posteriors, no matter whether it's a fixed dimensional model or transdimensional model, we can always obtain a marginal posterior of the latent variable gamma given the data. So with all the intermediate variables being integrated out, so the alpha, the regression intercept, beta, the regression coefficients, and sigma squared, the residual variance, and the mu, the mean of the betas across profile. All these variables can be integrated out. So that makes the Bayesian inference very efficient in the way of model averaging. And also, if you look at the marginal posterior of these latent variables, it involves the product sum of the residual matrix regressed on beta or mu, or the combination of beta mu at different levels with different shrinkage. Actually, it's quite intuitive, but I didn't put the messy formula on that. So as comment of this model, the model framework is very general. It's just a Bayesian model variable, Bayesian variable selection, and it can be applied to many fields. And if you're looking at gene studies, it can be applied to gene disease association studies, and also the gene set enrichment study. The difference is how do you configure the response matrix and the predictor matrix. In the gene set enrichment study, the response matrix will be the expression, the macro expression, and the predictors will be a design matrix for the membership of different gene sets for each genes. So here are some simulation. This simulation is use the setting of gene disease association. In this way, is the gene and drug response association for 92 different drugs. Actually, it's coming from a setting of a real study for the East recombinant strains. So there are different 104 yeast strains with natural genetic variation, and they were so their microarray expression was measured for each strain, and then this strain was treated with 92 different drugs, and everybody knows that yeast genome has about 6,000 genes. So as a simulation, we didn't use all 6,000. We just used 100 genes to demonstrate the point. So we specified 20 genes to have similar association across drugs, and 20 genes with different association across drugs. That means this, although we have like 100 potential predictors, but only 40 of them should be in the model. Then we simulate, giving the true true type of the variables and the coefficients and their mean. Then we generate the y from all these true values of variables. And then we apply our model to that, and also compare with previously two-type model. The two-type model basically is saying, okay, a variable, whether a variable should be in the model or not, without further classification. So whether it's in the model because they have a different effect across profiles, or they have similar effect across profiles. I think in practice, it's very important for some biologists to know that. So, of course, because we're similar from a three-type model, the three-type model discovery has better prediction accuracy than the two-type model. That's not too surprising, and we also did simulate from the two-type model. Then the two approaches have similar performance. The two-type model, although it's not surprising that our model have better accuracy, but in reality, it would be translated to saying that because the two-type model is forcing the mean of the covariance at zero and looking at their distance and for how far away they're from zero. So if this distance is from a mixed distribution, so one very large distance and some smaller distance, then the two-type classification, whether in the model or not, will tend to miss a lot on the smaller distance variables. That's why it has worse predictions. So the case study is a gene set enrichment study. So I guess probably people are really still struggling through this idea. But I think this regression coefficients box plot would explain the motivation of having that. So basically, if we are going to do things ad hocly, we'll do linear regression for each profile separately, and looking at their betas. So the box plot here just plot the box plot for each predictors. We use ridge regression because we have so many predictors, and they tend to have some heavy collinearity. And the other graph is just basically translating what's the information in the box plot. So the x-axis at the red plot is the cross-profile mean of the coefficients. And the y-axis is the standard deviation of the coefficients across profiles. So basically, for the betas that, for the variable that doesn't supposed to be in the model, it will have very small mean around zero on the axis, and also very small standard deviation. And the common association variable that's supposed to be in the model will be on the two sides of the x-axis. Then the differential association variables will be on the top of the graph. So this is an example from a real breast cancer study. We're looking at the top 5% most variable genes. It's about 12,000. And we're looking at 54 pathways. Each pathway has have to have at least 5 genes. So these are showing some preliminary results for the discovery of common and differential enriched pathways. We use non-conjugate settings for the signal to noise relationship for the enrichment. We run not so long Markov chain just for exploratory purpose. We find no gene set with huge posterior probability close to 1. Later on, I will give my possible explanation of why. But when we look at the top-ranked gene sets, so at least here, the 23 top-ranked differential enriched sets, they appear to make sense because we're looking at a breast cancer study, and these patients have various status for P53 mutation. And if out of the 23 or 26 pathways, we're looking at the top ranked. Seven of them, the color is blue. Seven of them is involved in involved with P3. In total of the CAC pathways we're looking at, the total pathway involved P53 is 17. So we're hitting a lot of, with great probability, hitting all the 53 involved pathways. So that's suggesting that our findings is making some sense. And also the rest of the pathways is related to cell death and some tumor stage. And signaling pathway involved in tumor oncogenesis. So we also find some common enriched sets, but they tend to be mostly very general biological processes compared to more specific pathways for the differential enriched part. So I think the one interpretation for us not having very high probability of posteriors is because we use this linear regression setting in a way that they will translate to the gene set enrichment as looking at the mean of the genes in a set. So because the gene in a pathway tends to come from mixture distribution, a big part is from a distribution is always expressed at low levels, and then you will have a proportion of genes expressed at high levels or more easy to change. So when you look at the mean of a set, it tends to attenuate the changes. That's probably one reason of why we're not getting huge posterior probabilities. So for summary, so our model framework is general. The marginal posterior of the latent variable type for variable selection can be obtained, so the computation would be very efficient. The conjugate or non-conjugate signal is very flexible. Because the model is very general, so we can apply this variable selection to both gene and the gene set levels. Thank you.